Growing up, you were a huge Guy Lafleur fan. What were your thoughts when you originally started playing? Did you think that you were going to be a scorer? How did you become, Rich Pilon that Islander fans know?
Well, I think when I went into, well, not I think, I know when I first went up to the Islanders, obviously I came from basically out of nowhere because I was drafted late and drafted out of Midget AAA here in Saskatchewan. And so when I got, as my career started here, the younger player, I turned into more somewhat of a, I would say I had some an offensive side in junior, in Midget AAA and also in the WHL, the Western Hockey League. And when I got to the Islanders, my first stint as a, when I made the team at 20, I still was a bruising defenseman though, like I liked to hit. So as much as I had some offensive side, I still liked the part of the game of the contact side of it. And, once Terry Simpson got fired, Al Arbour kind of took over and said, "You're not going to be an offensive guy. If you want to play in the league lots of years, not many guys want to play the game you play, which is, shut down defensemen. And if you're willing to take on that role for this team, I will teach you to be the best shutdown guy around, and hopefully you have a long career." And that's exactly what happened.
How do you, mentioning Al Arbour, how do you feel about the Islanders continuing every year to, kind of pay respects to him? And how do you feel about the Islanders, reaching out to alumni?
Oh, I think any, for Al, he's been the most influential man in my hockey career. He made me who I was as a player. He definitely molded me to the player that they want to shut down aggressive defenseman and enjoying that part of the game of it. Like everybody wants to score goals, everybody wants to get points, and for me, the game that I played, it was shutting down. It was a big rush shutting down the other team's top lines, or taking guys and playing physical with them.
I'm happy that you're mentioning like your role, because like your role in the NHL was very polarizing. The teams that you played for loved you, but the teams you played against, I mean, hated you. So I mean, how does that feel to like still to this day, if you go on a hockey thread and you mention your name to like a Penguins fan, I mean, nasty things are said. So I mean, how does that feel?
You know what? You've done your job. I've done my job. Or players that have the role that we have, where you're a shutdown guy or aggressive guy, you want to. If you're not well liked in other teams' buildings, that you're doing something right. And anytime that in your own building, when they're cheering you on, and there's no bigger rush is getting your fans, making a big hit or getting in a good fight or stopping a nice play, and the fans in Long Island that, and stand up on their feet and start cheering. That's why you're there. We're there to give entertainment. We're there to try and win some hockey games, not only for our team but for our fans.
Okay, you were on the Islanders, in the late 80s and the 90s, and what do you think when the team had LaFontaine and Sutter, and then all of a sudden all those trades started to happen in 92? How do you think that team changed and became that 93 team that was very special?
Well, the 93 group, it definitely, you're kind of, it's in with the new and out with the old to some degree, right? And you're, as a player on that team, I was there, and I was there for all of it, where I basically saw the change where, you're going like, okay, Brent Sutter getting moved, Pat LaFontaine getting traded. Holy geez, who's going to replace these guys, right? And but what you do learn real fast in the NHL, and what you really do learn at every level you play, is that everybody is pretty much replaceable. There's only one Wayne Gretzky, and he even got traded. So if a Wayne Gretzky can get traded, when you look at your lineup, it definitely nobody can, everybody's replaceable. So, and the team that we brought in, I think, was just, yeah, when you're building a hockey team, everybody's got a role to do. And the problem when we, I think the success we had with that group was that everybody accepted their role. And where you don't win hockey games or have success at the for championships and everything else is when players aren't willing to accept their role and do accept the team. That team definitely had that.
So I interviewed Mick Vakoda last month, and he told me a great story about after the Dale Hunter incident happened that you guys, the entire team, was just incensed, and that you and him had like this plan to like meet up with Dale Hunter. Can you talk about that a little bit? Like how the team felt when all that happened, and what you guys thought about doing in the heat of the moment?
Well, we thought we were going to get our stuff up and try and get a hold of him in between the dressing rooms on his way out, because they have to walk by our room. So Mick and I were like, we definitely wanted a piece of him, somehow wanted him to pay a price, because he had just taken out our best player. So we were in our, you know, when you look back today, you're going, holy crap, really? We would have done that?
Yeah. Well,
we would have. At that moment, we would have. I don't know if we would have got suspended. In today's game, you'd be gone for probably a little long time. But,
yeah. You
know, at that age, at that time, it was definitely, guys were rushing each other. You know, there was always yelling, especially on the island, because our rooms were so close. So we played a Ranger, and I remember Millett and these guys, you'd be ripping each other from dressing in the dressing room, and all of a sudden guys are coming together, coaches are coming together. But there, a lot of times there wasn't a lot of TVs down there, so nothing was seen. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Did you guys ever have a chance to like have a conversation with him or meet up with him after all that stuff happened?
Well, on the ice, like we were gonna plan, if we didn't do it in the room, like that time we were gonna, you know what? And every time we played, any chance that we played, or I played anyway against Dale, I did. You know, and him and I always used to go at it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always trying to get him to fight me, and he wouldn't fight. He wasn't a fighter either, right?
So yeah.
If he wasn't going to fight me, then sure in hell wasn't going to fight me.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
He mixed up for than I am, and so if he wasn't going to get and you know, Dale was that player that there's not, that player is not in today's game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that game, that the guy that antagonizes, gets underneath the other team's skill, other team's best player, the whole damn team. There's not a lot of players. There's a very handful of players in the league now, where before there was everybody in the NHL when I played seemed to have two or three of those guys.
Sure.
But we're at times like guys like Keith Acton, you know, Kenny Lindsman. These guys were small players, feisty, Dale Hunter. But they would drop the glove. They weren't afraid to. They knew how to get you off your game, and you know, they played their role to a T. So good on them, right?
Mm-hmm. So what do you think of this year's Islanders? Have you been following them at all, like with all the trades and all the acquisitions?
Well, you know, when I follow, yeah, I do. I follow, and, you know, when you're not there in it, and then, you know, there's no understanding of why they do things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan now, so when I watch any hockey team, when I do watch the Islanders, it's a team that drafted me, and I've got a soft spot for them. I always will. To my understanding, I can question why there is, probably like everybody else does, but I run a hockey team now, and I have parents that are probably questioning me why I do things the way I do, but there is a plan to there is a plan to all the madness that we see as fans now. So I don't understand it, but especially after you seem like the year they had last year. But the biggest issue now that's changed, sorry, Patrick, is that because of that salary cap,
sure,
that has made a huge impact on building a hockey team.
Sure.
So it is a lot harder today's game in the NHL to build dynasties because of salary cap. It's just not going to happen anymore. When a team like the LA Kings, the Chicago Blackhawks, keep doing what they do, you've got to sit there and take your hat off to those guys, because even Pittsburgh, how they managed to keep their best players together and still fill in these spots and have so much success.
Is there a player on the current Islanders that you look at and go, you know, he kind of reminds me a little bit of myself?
Actually, not really, no. Is there someone there that you... Not really, no. Not the way I play.
Yeah, no.
I played a game where, you know, I played hard and fought, you know, but I wasn't a heavyweight. I was more of a, you know... I don't think I was a middleweight. I wasn't a heavyweight. I was somewhere in between there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I fought the heavyweight when I had to, and... You know, the middleweight guys, we had good bouts, but I don't think there is actually a team. If anybody would have been, it would have probably been Martin, but he would have forward, right?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he's not there anymore, so, but he would be the one player.
All right, so at the end of the day, how do you want people to remember you as a player?
I think, you know, whether it be fans, whether it be coaches, I think, you know, remember me as a guy that when I put the jersey on, it was all about what was I was wearing in front, not on my name on the back. And when I did step on the ice, I laid everything on the line, and that's probably the biggest thing that I hear back, that I get feedback after you retire from coaches or players that have played against me, is that, you know, I was in no position to take night off, because if I did, I was exposed and I would hurt the team. So I had to be the best I could be every time I stepped on the ice, and I had to have the pedal down, or else I wouldn't be able to play my game.
So you played in the NHL for 15 years, and in the big scheme of things, players would kill to have 15 years in the NHL, but at the same time, too, that's a small chunk of your life. So what are you up to now, and what are your goals for the rest of your life?
Well, my goal right now, I have a son named Jared Pilon, and my daughter Megan. We're just going through the stage, my wife and I, Jackie, where my daughter is moving out, or she's building a house with her boyfriend. My son Garrett Pilon, he plays major junior here for Kamloops Blazers.
Wow.
And he's been drafted by the Washington Capitals.
Wow.
he was a third round pick for Washington. He's a forward. He's exactly the opposite of what I was. he's a forward. He's a very versatile player, plays forward and defense, and that's kind of how Kamloops has used him, and I think it's kind of up his stock at the NHL level.
Mm-hmm.
He was really, really, really small, and now he's kind of, he's like a 5'11". He might be 6 feet. If he might size, he's not a six probably, but he'll probably have an opportunity to play because his hockey IQ is so high.
Mm-hmm.
So my whole goal with coming up with my family was I went through alcohol and addictions and drug abuse at the end of my career. That's kind of what cut my career short in St. Louis. So I've been sober. In November 8th of this year, it'll be 12 years that I haven't had a drink.
Congratulations.
I'm now, so once I got my life straightened out here after I got back, after I retired, I end up, I've always coached Garrett all the way up, and my goal was to spend as much time as I could with family, because once they're gone, they're gone.
Sure.
So now that Garrett's gone and Megan's gone, I guess, what I'm doing now is I run a midget AAA program here in Saskatoon. It's a level below basically the WHL, and I went to get my coaching to get my coaching pedigree up. I've had to start my grassroots to get my name back. My reputation wasn't the best because of the addiction side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had to basically do a 360 degree to get people to trust me again and to have, I guess, trust in me that I'm going to do a good job when I'm asked. So I'm now coaching, and my goal is, if I'm going only to my second year of coaching, I've been coaching young kids, now I'm coaching the teenagers. My goal is to try and move my way up the level. I think there's an opportunity for me to come down and hopefully in the next year or two.
Great. Well, one last question. Considering all the coaching things, are you surprised at all? I actually make the same question, so I'll ask you too. That Travis Green has just become like this excellent coaching prospect, like this guy that you played with is like moving up the coaching ranks?
Well, yeah, actually, you know what, Mick probably said the same thing. I'm totally surprised. But after meeting Greeny here in Saskatoon when he was coaching Portland, when he came here for the Memorial Cup, and I hadn't seen Travis since playing days, and spent a few days with him, he's a smart hockey guy. And, you know, that's the thing with the guys that play pro, that do decide they want to coach, your opportunity, or not your opportunity, but we've done this our whole lives, or most of our lives, till we retire. So you spend that much time learning from the best. If you can take out a little bit from each good coach that you have, players you surround yourself with, it is just, there's a good chance you can turn into a pretty good coach if you want to. It's just whether you want to or not. I really believe that, because you're not going to get, you're playing, in the best league in the whole wide world, and you're a very small number. So when you get that opportunity, and if you learn enough, you can be a good coach if you want to be. You just got to put in work and time, and not think that because you play in the NHL now that you're better than the guy that hasn't. You have to go back and start at your grassroots, I think, and you have to, especially when you take time away from the game, and you have to go do your HP1. You have, because the game is changing all the time, and you have to change with it.